This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we begin 2021, stress is all around us. There's the global pandemic that has many people out of work or working from home while also trying to figure out how to homeschool their children. There's also political unrest that's given way to political violence. Given all that, many people have been looking for a way to deal with anxiety. Enter mindfulness and meditation. There are elements of this that might seem like a fad, but meditation has been around for millennia. Still, for those of us raised in cultures where meditation is not a regular part of life, it can be difficult to know where to start. Headspace was created in 2010 by Andy Puddicombe and Richard Pearson. It began with a mobile app and online services that teach mindfulness through guided meditation, breathing techniques, animation, and storytelling. The idea is to make it easier to incorporate a mindfulness practice into everyday life. Now, Headspace has partnered with Netflix to launch the series Headspace Guide to Meditation. It premiered January 1st.
When was the last time that you did nothing? And by nothing, I really mean nothing. Hi, I'm Andy, and welcome to Headspace Guide to Meditation. Throughout this series, I'm going to be your guide as we explore the mind and discover how meditation can benefit us in our life. In each episode, I'm going to introduce a new technique and tell you how that technique can be used for specific situations. I hope meditation can bring you a greater sense of presence in your life, a greater ability to not be distracted, to enjoy life, and to connect with the people that you care about most.
Later in the segment, we're going to hear from Christopher Menard, a psychology professor and the mindfulness training director at the University of Illinois. But joining us now is Morgan Selzer. She's head of content at Headspace and executive producer of the Netflix series Headspace Guide to Meditation. Morgan, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, we want to know if you have a mindfulness or meditation practice, or if you've tried Headspace. You can join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. A very basic question to begin, Morgan. What is mindfulness? What is meditation?
You know, mindfulness and meditation is it's actually not the most basic of questions,
We could spend a lifetime learning about it.
So, I mean, mindfulness and meditation are interchangeable, but meditation is the practice of sort of being with your mind and trying to find a clear and present mind. And it, you know, has incredible lasting sort of effects on not only your day to day, but your life. So, and then mindfulness is sort of the business kind of around the act of meditation.
We're at this time, as I mentioned, of pandemic, political violence. Have you seen an increased interest in this, in these ideas this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 2020 was a year of incredible stress and anxiety, I think, for everyone around the world. And the first few weeks of 2021 haven't really proven much different. So we've seen an increase in usage, an increase in definitely our packs inside of our product that are related to stress and anxiety. And just honestly, I think it's allowed people to have really open and honest conversations about caring for your mind. It's so important to care for your mental health and to have a healthy mind. And I think that, you know, when we all as a world face collective stress and trauma, I think those conversations bubble up rather quickly.
I should perhaps say here that I have used the Headspace app on my phone. So put that prior out there. I do wonder, though, you know, there is this idea that meditation, breathing, I mean, this is something that's been around for millennia. How do you reconcile the idea of, you know, making this into something that is a product, right, that people pay for, that's you know, a deal with Netflix? How do you think about bringing those two elements together?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, you know, we are a company that, you know, we want to improve the health and happiness of the world. And we want to do that in many ways, whether it's through a Headspace membership. You know, we offer Headspace for free to all educators K-12. We offer Headspace for free to the unemployed. We offer Headspace for free to healthcare workers. So we want the ability to care for your mind to be accessible. And so we do that in many ways. And I think the partnership with Netflix is just another sort of touch point in which people can learn about the positive effects of taking care of your mind. So to us, you know, if you use Headspace, if you do it on Netflix, if you have your own meditation practice, that's great. I think it's the ability to take some time out for yourself in order to better sort of your mental state is what's important to Headspace.
Yeah. So I want to talk more about the Netflix series. We need to take a break in about a minute, but briefly, can you talk about how did that come about, right? This was an app. It's been an app for a decade now, as I said. How did the Netflix series come about?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, we are as a company looking for ways in which people can incorporate mindfulness in their lives. You know, maybe that's through a Headspace membership, but we want to look for other ways in which people can find mindfulness. And, you know, when we talked to our friends at Netflix, we were like, what can we do that will spark people's interest in meditation, show that it has great benefits, and really try something different for the platform? And so we had many conversations with them. And, you know, we were talking about a variety of things. And then obviously we all went into lockdown in March. And I think we were like, no, I think people need this and they need it quickly. And so we were able to very quickly kind of mobilize and put together an animated concept in which, you know, we introduce people to different tenets and techniques of meditation. And we also talk about various need states in which meditation can really benefit your life. So as
okay, well, we will delve into those, to what is in the series in just a moment. Listeners, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about meditation and mindfulness and pegging the conversation to a new Netflix series that's called Headspace Guide to Meditation. It's from the company called Headspace, which is perhaps best known for an app and a service that people can get a membership to. There's also a free version to sort of introduce people, and it sort of guides people into a meditation practice. We're speaking with Morgan Selzer, who's the head of content at Headspace, executive producer of that Netflix series. In a few minutes, we'll be talking to a meditation instructor from here in Illinois. But before I say goodbye to Morgan, we were talking before the break. You mentioned, you know, talking with your friends at Netflix about how best to do the series. I thought I could use some friends at Netflix, but I digress. Netflix is notorious for binge watching shows, right? Is that how people should be trying to pursue mindfulness in this series?
No, I mean, I think the show is a really wonderful thing to sort of do maybe once a day, find a time in your day that makes sense. Maybe it's right before bed, maybe it's first thing in the morning. But each episode, as I mentioned, you know, introduces you to a different meditation technique. And I think also interestingly enough, each episode discusses what we call a specific need state or something that, you know, emotionally you might be going through, whether it's physical pain or how you can let go or falling in love with life again, or my favorite is like how you be kind or deal with anger, skillful compassion, which I think we all need right now. You know, I think it really gets to the heart of things that everyone feels. And so to me, I would suggest, you know, you watch one every day, and each episode I should mention also has a 10-minute meditation in it. So it's a great way to get yourself introduced to meditation, understand the scientific benefits of meditation, then actually put it to practice and do a 10-minute meditation exercise.
Can I ask, do you have a mindfulness practice in your life?
I do. I have young children that I've been home with since March. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And so trying to carve out that time is so, so important. As Headspace employees, interestingly enough, we actually all meditate as a company every morning at 10 a.m., which is great, but we're no longer in the office. We're working remotely. So I've tried to replicate that. So I do it first thing in the morning before my kids wake up. It's a great way for me to find quiet time, but it's really finding time for when it works for you. And, you know, as we always say, and we have the science to prove it, it's not about the length of time, but the consistency of it. So we really suggest if you can find a way to do it every day, even if it's for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, that is what will really have long-term benefits on your brain health.
Okay, note to the producers of this show, we're going to start meditating every morning. I love that idea. Morgan Selzer is the head of content at Headspace and the executive producer of this Netflix series, Headspace Guide to Meditation. Morgan, thanks for your time. Thanks for being with us on the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
You too. And I want to bring now into the conversation onto the 21st, Christopher Menard, who is an assistant professor of in the department of, or I should say, a department of psychology, clinical assistant professor. I'm going to get that title right. Also the mindfulness training director at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Christopher Menard, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here.
I want to ask you the same question I began with Morgan. I'm curious if you have a different perspective, because mm-hmm. there's a thousand ways mm-hmm. to answer this. What is meditation? Sure. What is mindfulness?
Yeah, so I think of mindfulness as a type of meditation. There are many types of meditations. All the different religious traditions in the world have their own flavor of meditation, and lots of people have gone on to create different types of meditation. Mindfulness, as we know it here in the U.S. and in the around the world, the secular mindfulness movement was developed by a man by the name of Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is the kind of the granddaddy of secular mindfulness. And
people might know
the definition.
Book, Wherever You Go, There You Are, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yes, he has lots of books out. That's one of his books. And the definition that he uses is mindfulness is paying attention on purpose, non-judgmentally, to the way things are. And typically, we train people with the breath as the first place to start in terms of being with your body as it is, whether other forms of meditation want you to breathe a certain way, but this is just noticing how you're breathing, whether it's a deep breath or a shallow breath, a long breath, a short breath, and just learning to anchor your attention on the breath as opposed to being wrapped up in your thoughts.
A few years ago, the psychologist Robert Wright wrote a book called Why Buddhism is True. And one of his main arguments is that a key insight of Buddhism is that the reason we suffer and the reason we make other people suffer is that we don't see the world clearly. I wonder, now I know I've maybe conflated mindfulness and Buddhism, and we can talk about that distinction, but I wonder what you think of that idea.
Yeah. So secular mindfulness, Jon Kabat-Zinn did study Buddhism and practice Buddhism. So that's the foundation from which he developed his secular curriculum. So it does have a root there. That's very clear.
Is this, I mean, I think the argument there is that people, you know, the Buddhist tradition understands something about the human condition going back millennia that we would be wise to, mm-hmm. to study.
Right. Right. And so, so I was saying, you know, in any point in history, including the Buddha's time, people get wrapped up in their lives. They get wrapped up in busyness, wrapped up in responsibilities, wrapped up in, you know, anxiety about the future, ruminating about the past. And so people back then had the same challenges we had. And so, yes, the Buddha did study meditation, and he developed his own system and his own set of teachings. And that can help us step out of worrying about the future. That can help us step out of ruminating about the past. That can help us be present with life as it is. And sometimes life is fun and full of laughter and happiness. And sometimes life is hard when we think about the current, you know, politics in our country and COVID-19. It's a really challenging time for people. And people can get very wrapped up in anxiety about that. So mindfulness is definitely one tool that people can use to step out of worrying, step out of the anxiety, and rest in some mindfulness object, whether that's the breath or some other object that they choose.
Let me reintroduce you. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're continuing our conversation on meditation and mindfulness. We're speaking with Christopher Menard, professor in the psychology department at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, where he's also mindfulness training director. Listeners want to know if you have a mindfulness practice or a meditation practice. Maybe you're curious about it. Maybe you're intimidated by the idea. Join the conversation at 800-222-9222. 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Can you talk about how you came to mindfulness? And I'm particularly curious about if there, for you, there was a gap between first trying it out and making it a regular practice. It seems like a lot of people are mindfulness curious, but maybe there's a leap to making it a regular practice.
Yeah, well, I was introduced to meditation, you know, way back in the late 80s or early 90s, in my late teens and early 20s, just through martial arts and through yoga. But in going to graduate school, getting a job, having kids, basically it all falls away because there's just, I was so busy with life, right? And so all those self-care strategies like yoga would just drop away, and exercise. And so when my third child was a year old, my wife was the impetus for my mindfulness practice, in the sense that I had a child was 7, 4, and 1 at that stage, and about 10 years ago. And my wife said to me, we both can't be this stressed and down and burn out with work and with kids and with the house. And she said, I can't get away because I'm still breastfeeding, but you have to go away. You got to go on a retreat. And so when I went on that 5-day mindfulness retreat, that kind of jump-started, introduced me to secular mindfulness, as we've been talking about before, Jon Kabat-Zinn's model, and also as we see in the Headspace app. And so that 5-day retreat kind of gave me a shot, you could say, a big dose of mindfulness that really helped me start a regular mindfulness practice. And so, I was after that kind of that big dosage of mindfulness, my mindfulness practice just took off. But to say it wasn't consistent, it's like anybody, when we start a new regimen, whether it's a diet or exercise or mindfulness, it's hard to stick with it. There's going to be things that get in the way. There's obstacles, whether they're external or psychological. And so it takes perseverance, it takes patience, and it takes being kind to yourself, because every day, you can't always do it every day. Things get in the way, whether it's kids or illness.
We've only got about 5 minutes left in the program, and that is a hard 5 minutes that we sort of lose our connection to our stations at that point. But I wonder if you could sort of briefly walk us through, if you'd be willing to sort of briefly walk us through an exercise, maybe a breathing exercise, to just sort of, you know, in a minute or two, if that's possible, to sort of introduce us to what this is like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So just a little caveat, if there's anyone listening that's driving, keep your eyes open.
Thank you. Good advice.
And keep your hands on the wheel and attune to your driving, stay in tune with your driving. So for everyone else who's not driving a vehicle, what I'd like to invite you to do is just begin with just looking around yourself and just noticing the room that you're in, right? It's got walls, a floor, there's maybe color on the walls with the paint, with the artwork. Maybe there's a window. And you're just noticing. So just beginning by just noticing what's in your physical environment. And you may notice that your mind has a hard time doing that. Maybe it jumps around to other things, or maybe it's judging your physical environment in some way. So now from seeing, what I'm going to suggest is that you close your eyes. Again, if you're driving, keep your eyes open. So those who are at home or at work, closing your eyes gently. And then noticing yourself sitting in the chair that you're sitting in, just noticing that physical contact with that chair. And then noticing your breath. Noticing where you feel the breath in your body. You might feel it in your belly. You might feel it in your chest. You might feel it in your nostrils. And it doesn't matter if the breath is long or short. It doesn't matter if the breath is deep or shallow. It might be helpful to place one hand on your belly to feel some movement in the belly. So there's nothing to do, there's nowhere to go in this moment, there's nothing to fix, there's no one to become, just sitting with this breathing body. again, you may notice that your mind occasionally jumps to the past or the future. And when you notice that, you can just acknowledge where it's gone, and then you just gently bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. It's totally normal for the mind to wander. So mindfulness is about coming back again and again. The mind wanders and we return. The mind wanders again and we return back to the breath as an anchor. If you're finding that the breath isn't available to you as an anchor, maybe just feeling your hands touching each other or feeling your feet on the floor. Again, if the breath doesn't feel accessible to you, maybe there's some other physical sensations that you can anchor into. So those of you that are focusing on the breath, see if you can bring an attitude of interest to each inhale, each exhale, noticing if you're focusing on the belly, how the belly stretches, how it contracts, how it presses against your shirt as the belly expands. See if you can notice little nuances of each breath, the nuances of the physical sensations of each inhale, each exhale, of those little moments between each inhale and each exhale.
And I'm afraid we need to conclude our meditation exercise. Sure. I want to thank Christopher Menard. He's an assistant professor in the psychology department at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, also mindfulness training director there. That was great. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I hope you feel better. I know I do. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you again next week. I'm Brian Mackey.